Y'all might be interested in knowing, I got sworn in on a Friday, and the following Thursday, you know, people were very nice and called me Your Honor and very nice things. And on that Thursday, my wife, who I've been married to for 35 years this summer, handed me the trash and said, "Take this out, Your Honor." Which I thought was really mean, really mean. But put me back in my place. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. Bill is under the weather again, and let's remember him, and also he receives emails. Actually, Gail receives them, and I know they respond to them. I talked to him a couple of days ago, and he's pretty sure he'll be here for our last class, all right? Next week, we do not have class. There are no Sunday school classes for adults next week because of the retreat, so you're off the hook. But the following week, Bill and I are going to be doing it together. And we're hoping to pull up two chairs here and sort of talk about some loose ends, because I know we've gotten to certain points on like speaking in tongues or other things, and we just didn't quite have enough time to finish the thought. I did that one. I was actually glad we ran out of time on that one. But there's some things that we would like to follow up with you on. And also, if you have some thoughts about the class this summer on the Holy Spirit or some questions that are on your mind, why don't you send them to me, and then I'll get them to Bill, and we'll figure out how we'll divide those up. For those of you who weren't here last week, what we're trying to do at the end of this summer session, we've talked about a lot of facts and things about the Holy Spirit and some of the things that the Holy Spirit did in New Testament times and maybe even still does today. We talked about what walking in the Spirit means in the first part of chapter 5. That's really what the text says in the Greek, and I think in your New International it probably says live in the Spirit. But really what it's talking about is having a day-to-day walk with the Holy Spirit. And I pointed out to you three or four places in the Bible, but those are just examples, everywhere in the Bible when it says walking with God, it's talking about doing something on a day-to-day basis, all right, walking with God. And the example I gave was 1 John 1, verse 7, which says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. That's just an example. I gave you another one. Noah walked with God, Genesis 6 says. And his great-grandfather Enoch in chapter 5 walked with God, all right? It was a daily sort of activity they had. And so that's one call with the Holy Spirit, is to walk with him. And the second call is really more passive, is to be led by him, okay? Now, these rural agricultural people would know exactly what that means. If you've ever been out on a farm, you also know that sometimes you have a leader, a shepherd, and then you have a flock that follows you, all right? That follows you, okay? And so Paul wrote in the first part of chapter 5 that we really have two choices, all right? We can live by the Spirit, or we can live by the flesh. And he gives a number of examples of people that are living by the flesh. And the first category had to do with sexual sin of all kinds. He gave great examples. And the Greek word that he uses, porneia, like our pornography, right? Last week I didn't do justice to that. And somebody after class said, hey, you didn't do justice to that, because I really said we have an idolatry problem in Dallas. We have a porneia problem in Dallas too, so don't think that I don't know that we do, all right? When we talk to our young professionals group, we often say it's one of the most powerful forces in our world, right? People lose kingdoms over this sin, right? So I don't mean to belittle that. And then he ends up talking about drunkenness and orgies. And really, that's losing all control over self, right? Just giving up self to alcohol or to sexual promiscuity, to sin, just giving it up, all right? Okay. Well, today I want to talk about the more positive things that come with living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. All right. Now, who has that ring? Yeah. Yeah. My law clerk, former law clerk, had a rooster ring. It was a cock-a-doodle-doo. We were in the courtroom, and his phone went off. A rooster in my courtroom. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's look, starting in verse 22. And the problem with doing the fruit of the Spirit is that you've studied this all your life, all right? We've even sung songs about the fruit of the Spirit. You probably have them memorized. And so this is going to be somewhat familiar, but I've also tried to figure out a way to maybe go a little bit different, deeper, a little bit different level to see what exactly is the author, Paul, talking about. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, right off the bat, what we're about to talk about, nine things, all right? Nine very important things that fit in this category, the fruit of the Spirit. What does the fruit of the Spirit mean?
Product.
Terrific. Yeah. Yeah, the root word is like fruit, and fruit, you know, remember Jesus talks about fruit in different places in the gospel, but he's talking about a product of a relationship with the Spirit, right? And get it right off the bat, okay? This fruit, it's singular, this fruit flows from God's Holy Spirit, all right? And maybe from your relationship. And the very first fruit that he says is a big one to Paul. It's a big one across his writing. The first one is love. All right? Now, all of you who went to Christian schools know that in the New Testament, there are really three kinds of Greek love that the Bible talks about. Eros, between lovers. Philia, sort of brotherly love, where the Philadelphia gets its name, the city of brotherly love. This is not either one of those. Which one is it? Agape, yeah, agape. What does that mean? Agape.
Selfless love.
Ah, selfless. What are some characteristics of agape love?
It's unconditional.
Ooh, good. Very good. You choose to love someone with agape love, right? Yeah. Eros kind of flows naturally, right? Filio might actually flow from relationship. You know, I got to love my sister. She's my sister. Okay. But agape.
You can love even when they're unlovable.
Ah, excellent. Excellent. Who demonstrates agape love the most, do you think? Teachers, that came from a retired teacher. You can't. I was going to say lawyers and judges. Policemen. Okay. Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah. Barbara knows that in any good Sunday school class, if you can't think of an answer, just blurt out Jesus, and that is liable to be right, and it is right. Okay, and more broadly, God, okay? John says in his epistles, in those little books, that God is love. God is agape, all right? And so when Peter and Jesus are having this dialogue that in the English language makes no sense at the end of John, and Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" He's saying, "Do you agape me?" And Peter goes back, "Lord, you know I phileo you. I love you like a brother." They're having a disconnect there, okay? Because Jesus wants Peter to agape him, all right? He wants him to put him and his gospel above everything. Yeah. Okay. Joy. Joy in the Greek is what we think it is. The Greek word is chara. Does it mean that we're going to be happy all the time? That's a guarantee?